It's April 1987, inside the dressing room of Dalymount Park. Shamrock Rovers have won the FAI Cup, making it an unprecedented treble of double winning seasons. Dermot Keely, the player manager of Rovers, revels in the celebrations. For him, this is the culmination of a journey he's been on since starting senior football in 1973 with Home Farm. Now here he was, managing one of the greatest teams of all time. Former Rovers manager Jim McLaughlin had brought Keely to the club in 1983, but he had left the previous season to manage his beloved Derry City, a journey that would take them to their own promised land, culminating in the treble-winning season of 1989. The story of Keely and McLaughlin is one in which the threads of two people intertwine to a degree that it seems the work of football gods. To conjure a word, fate. But it's the journey that brings the destiny, and this journey started nearly 10 years before, in 1977. Let's rewind. It's 1981. Dundalk FC under Jim McLaughlin has become a powerhouse of domestic football. They've won the league in 76 and 79, the FAI Cup in 77 and 79, and the League Cup in 78 and 81. With players like Tommy McConville, Dermot Keely, Martin Lawler, John Archbold, and Mick Fairclough, McLaughlin had taken the club from mid-table mediocrity to genuine title contenders and cup winners. His philosophy was about professionalism and getting the fundamentals right, instilling technical ability as well as belief amongst the players themselves. Dundalk thrived. McLaughlin believed in the players as the sum of the parts. A team ethic, but backed with individual skills. A balanced team that looked at individual flair and creativity with tough, uncompromising defending. When they won their first league title under McLaughlin in the 75-76 season, they had the second best goal scoring record and the third best defensive record, conceding just 25 goals in 30 games. However, by the 77-78 season, Dundalk's league form had collapsed, conceding 46 goals, finishing in 11th place and 17 points behind champions Bohemians. McLaughlin's team could still play champagne football at times. The trouble was, they needed a barroom brawler, an unpolished gem, and he was about to find him. Dermot Keely had started his senior career at Home Farm in 1973 alongside his brother. There, he quickly established a name for himself. As a tough tackling central defender, he won the FAI Cup in the 74-75 season, grabbing the attention of several clubs. But it was Barry Bridges at St. Pat's that got him to Inchicore. Still in his very early 20s, Keely was named club captain. After several indifferent seasons, McLaughlin saw what he was looking for, and he found it in Dermot Keely. And it was at that point that the two would see their threads intertwine for the next decade. The impact was immediate. Dundalk won the double in the 78-79 season, pipping Bowes to the league title by 2 points, and beating Waterford 2-0 in the cup final. However, it was to be the runners-up spot in the league for 80 and 81. But again, the FAI Cup was theirs in the 81 season, beating Sligo Rovers 2-0 at Dalymount Park. But for Keely, the frustration had reached boiling point. For him, the league was where it was at. That was the big prize. If you run the marathon, you better come in first. In 80 and again in 81, Dundalk had been runners-up, and Keely thought he knew the reason why, and it was Jim McLaughlin. Keely felt Jim had lost his touch, that the players he was bringing in didn't match the ambition of what they were trying to achieve, and it was time to let Jim know about it. Keely voiced his annoyance to McLaughlin, venting out at his manager Keely was about to get a lesson in what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Keely insisted Jim had gone soft. Winning all those trophies had made him blind to the needs of the team. He hadn't the stomach or the balls to make the hard decisions anymore. Quietly, McLaughlin listened to Keely, making his own arguments on his team, but never raised his voice. Call it a moment of madness. Call it the impetuousness of youth. Call it ego. Keely insisted McLaughlin make changes. Either things changed or he'd leave. His manager, unmoved, replied that if that was what he felt was best, that was up to him. Perhaps that wasn't what Keely was expecting. After all, he was team captain and an important player. He exclaimed that Glen Torren had put in an offer, £10,000 sterling, to come play for them. He exclaimed that Glen Torren had put in an offer, £10,000 sterling, for him to come play for them. McLaughlin again made it clear that that was Dermot's choice. And so with that, Keely's time was over at Dundalk. He had met the immovable object. There was only one person running Dundalk, and it wasn't him. Keely moved on to Glen Torren in the Northern Ireland League for the 81-82 season, where once again he found himself in the runners-up spot, second to their most hated of rivals, Linfield. That same season, Dundalk won the league. McLaughlin's magic hadn't deserted him. Perhaps it seemed over, a relationship that had conducted so much joy lost to cold winter. But Jim hadn't forgotten Keely. He'd come to see him play. He knew great players when he saw them, and he rarely forgot them. Sometimes he would even come down after the games and talk to Dermot about the game, things he should have done. Still coaching, still wanting Keely to be the best version of himself, on one occasion remarking that he needed to bring his teammates with him. Don't be afraid to push them. They'll follow you. In the 82-83 season, it was again second place for Glen Torren, but this time they won the cup, denying Linfield a double by beating them 2-1 at the Oval in a replay after a 1-1 draw at Windsor Park. It was a season of a cup treble. Glen Torren had won the Irish Cup, the Gold Cup, and the Ulster Cup, but for Keely, it wasn't enough. He couldn't shake that nagging feeling that the league is what mattered. And soon, a new opportunity would come his way. For Jim McLaughlin, the 82-83 season would be his last at Dundalk. A third place finish, 17 points adrift of champions Athlone Town. A 1-1 draw on the final game of the season to third from bottom Sligo Rovers was perhaps enough to convince the Derryman that his time at Oriel Park had come to an end. It was a huge shock. Since 1974, Dundalk and Jim had been inseparable. A golden era for the club, where they went from being rank outsiders to one of the top teams in the land. But good managers know when it's time to move on. But now a new challenge awaited, and in it would perhaps be his greatest achievement. He was heading to one of the most recognisable names in Irish football. He was heading to Shamrock Rovers. John Giles had resigned at Shamrock Rovers in February 1983 to take a managerial role in North American Soccer League with the Vancouver Whitecaps. Noel Campbell was interim manager at Rovers, having taken over from Giles. Now Rovers needed a new manager, one that could bring glory back to Milltown. They hadn't won a league title since 1964, and there was only one FAI Cup win since 1969. 69, of course, was the end of an incredible run in the FAI Cup for Rovers. They had won every FAI Cup from 1964 to 1969. A staggering six in a row. But since then, sustained success had evaded them. For McLaughlin, the job was clear. Bring back the trophies. His message was simple. Give me the money and I'll put you back on top. The universe is a strange thing. Call it cosmic directions, call it fate, but sometimes in football, as in life, the stories of people come together. What's meant to be will always find a way. In 1983, UCD had convinced Keeley to come be their player manager. Still only 30 years old, Keeley accepted, relishing the new challenge to take on a managerial role. Across the city, Jim McLaughlin needed somebody he could rely on, somebody who could bring leadership and not wilt for the pressure of playing for a household name. He had the creativity and sophistication of Pat Byrne. Now he needed a warrior and a battler. And he needed Dermot Keeley. Jim had an eye for great players. He knew the ones that would fit and the ones that wouldn't. His ability to get the best from those players was one of his greatest gifts. I'd like to think there was no meandering conversation between the two. Both recognised the talents of the other. Both were matter of fact. "I'm building something at Rovers," Jim would say. And Dermot would simply reply, "I'm f***ing in." The phone was hung up. I jest, of course, but I think they'd been through it together before. They knew the course that had to be run. They trusted each other to get the job done. And now it was time to go and do it. What happened next is Irish footballing folklore. One of the greatest teams ever assembled, with the likes of Pat Byrne, Dermot Keeley, Liam O'Brien, Harry Kenny, Liam Buckley, Jody Byrne, Alan Campbell. A team that won the league in Jim's very first season, and would keep on winning it till 1987. They would be champions in 1984, 85, 86, and 87. They would win the FAI Cup in 1985, 86, and 87. Three double winning seasons in a row. Jim would leave in 86 to be manager at Derry. The call of his hometown was too much to resist. And while there, like almost everywhere he went, he brought success. Keeley would take over as player manager after he left and help to win another double in 1987. Setting him on his own road of successful management. Jim had been asked to deliver trophies, and he had done it like no one else before. Through grit and guile, Jim had created a dynasty of winning that still casts its shadow even today. In 2025, Rovers won the double, their first double since 1987. They too had made their own dynasty, this time under Stephen Bradley. League champions in 2020, 21, 22, 23, and then the double in 2025. And yet, the debate still raged. Can you call yourself the greatest if you haven't done the double three times in a row? Keeley would leave Rovers in 1988. The sale of Glenmalure Park for development in 1987 had killed off the great team. With nowhere to call home, it all fell apart. Players moved on, Keeley moved on. McLaughlin would continue his success at Derry, culminating in a treble-winning season in 1989. League, Cup, and League Cup champions. His final managerial role came in 1999 with Dundalk. Unable to prevent them from being relegated, he stepped away from football for good. Keeley would have his own successful managerial career after winning that double with Rovers. Heading back to Dundalk in 1993, he led them to a league title in 1995. He won the double with Shelburne in 2000, and another league title followed with them in 2001. The influence of McLaughlin was undeniable. As a player, Keeley won 5 League of Ireland titles and 5 FAI Cups. 8 of those 10 trophies were under the management of Jim McLaughlin. The strands woven between Keeley and McLaughlin down through those years created a rich tapestry of trophies. It was a relationship that brought each other success through the reliance on their own abilities. A trust that yielded scarcely believable success. When Jim died in 2024, Dermot said simply that he was his football dad, and he was simply the best. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget to share the show on your own social media channels to let more people find out about the history and heritage of Irish football. And why not share your own stories about it while you're at it? And remember, support your local League of Ireland and Northern Ireland Football League clubs. It's our heritage. It's our game. Bye for now.